The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 10 and verse number 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. John chapter 11, verse 32, the Bible says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was," let me pause a minute and say, that's always a good place to be. "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was," I would encourage each and every one of us to find him and go where he is. All right, back to the scripture. "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Now turn one page to chapter 12 and verse number 3. "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." I believe we all know and have read and heard of Mary. But here is three different accounts and three different times she's speaking and being spoke of. And by way of introduction this morning, Mary is an interesting personality in the Word of God. And in the New Testament, she's only mentioned three times in the entire New Testament. I couldn't believe that when I studied this and got to researching and looking through the Scripture. As much as we hear about Mary, and as much as, I mean, songs have been written about her, many, many untold amounts of sermons and messages have been preached about Mary, but only three times in the entire New Testament do we find this Mary. But something different about her character is revealed in each scripture passage that we read. And I want to preach this morning on the subject, with the help of God, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. In Luke chapter number 10, verse 39, we read, and just to refresh our memory, I'll read this short verse again. But the Bible said, "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." This morning, I want to notice the place of learning is realized at the feet of Jesus. If you want to learn and have wisdom imparted to you, as I do, I believe we could all say amen to the fact we need learning, we need education, we need wisdom imparted to us from God. And I was mentioning about Sunday school, and I've heard this, if I've heard it once, I've heard it a thousand times. People say, I have no need to come to Sunday school. They're just teaching those things I learned as a child. And it's just repetitive and redundant. But could I say this morning, as humbly as I know how to say it, listen, we can all learn from the Lord. We never get too old. We never graduate. We never attain and acquire so much knowledge from God that we have arrived. Even the Apostle Paul made the statement that he said, "I have not apprehended. I haven't got to the place where I know it all." And yes, we will in Sunday school and in preaching. During revival, week in, week out, listening to a CD or a radio, we will hear things that possibly we've heard before, but as many educators will tell you, as many teachers will tell you, many professors will tell you, the greatest way of teaching and the absolute best way to learn is through repetition. And so just because we may have heard something before does not mean that we have it all. We should always be, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And so we see here the place of learning is realized. at the feet of Jesus. And no greater place to learn than sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. He's the greatest teacher this world has ever known. He's the greatest preacher this world has ever known. And any opportunity that we get and can gain to get in the presence of Jesus and sit at Jesus' feet and be taught by the one who named every creature that's ever been created, to sit at the feet of the one who spoke and simply by the power of his words spoke the worlds into existence. Matter of fact, he said everything in John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it goes on down and says that everything that was created by him. So who better to learn from? Who better to sit at his feet than Jesus Christ the Lord? That ought to be something that we strive. I mean, on a daily basis, as oft as we possibly can. I'm thankful that we have church three times a week. I'm thankful we have Sunday school. I'm thankful we have revivals. But listen, if that's all the training, if that's all the teaching, if that's the only time that we ever kneel and bow at the feet of Jesus, then we are selling ourselves so very short. We are robbing ourselves of knowledge that we could be getting. You say, well, preacher, you just bore me. I mean, and listen, I come in here this morning with a complex. I mean that. I sat as you did last Sunday morning and Sunday night and Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night and heard some of the most powerful, dynamic preaching you can hear on planet Earth. I mean, God just met with us, anointed those men of God as they thundered the Word of God. And I thought, my goodness, how am I going to get up and follow that? I mean, the church has heard this wonderful preaching, and then it's going to be back to just boring little old me come Sunday morning. But could I say this morning, it's not in a personality, it's not in a person per se, but it's Jesus Christ who is doing the teaching. It's His Word. No matter if it's Billy Graham or Billy Sunday or Charles Hans Spurgeon or some contemporary in our day and hour. Listen to me. If they are preaching from God's Word, then we can get at the feet of Christ and sit and learn and soak in what only God Himself can give us. And so there's much learning at the place of at the feet of Jesus. The place of learning is realized at the feet of Jesus. Mary listening to her Savior. Can you just picture with me for a moment this Mary that's only mentioned three times in the New Testament? We find her seated at the feet of Jesus, bowed down and listening and learning from the Lord Jesus, her Savior. Under this heading, let's notice number one, a place for loving. At the feet of Jesus, sitting there and learning from Him, it's a place that our love can be intensified, because the more we learn from Him and the more we learn about Him, the more we just absolutely naturally it will happen. The more we learn of Him, then the greater our love will grow. And so we see, I don't think I'd have a hard time convincing anybody this morning that this Mary that we know about loved her Savior. She loved Him. And I'll say more about that in a moment, but money was no object for her. Money meant nothing in comparison to her Savior. And I think it can be correlated to the fact that Jesus and her had one-on-one time together. She had sat at the very feet of Jesus and learned of Him, and that learn exponentially projected her love and expounded her love. And so we see this is a place for loving. To be near the one you love speaks of a private place to show love. Listen, think about your marriage this morning. Think about that woman or that man that you call husband or wife. Think about how in a crowd, we're seated here this morning in the house of God, and there's families all over. There's families out in the parking lot. But here in a congregation of people, It's one thing, and on a generic sense, we can have communication, we can talk, we can hobnob, and I start to say hug and handshake, but we try not to do that. But in a crowd, my point is this. It doesn't get very deep when it comes to conversation. It's hard to communicate effectively and especially intimately in a crowd. It's not a group conversation. I mean, you can have them. And in today's society, in 2020, a lot of our children are learning and doing their schoolwork through Zoom, and business meetings are taking place across the world, across the country, by people logging into a computer. And you'll have a plethora of people and a multitude and crowds of people trying to do business. And you'll have teachers logging in to that Zoom and trying to teach a whole class of students, and it's a proven fact. They're doing studies on what a detriment is going on, because it's not the same. It's not the same children sitting in their home and trying to congregate through a TV screen or through a computer screen. They're saying that it's almost incalculable the lack of learning that they're getting, because it's not a one-on-one in-person meeting. I'm saying there's something lost when you're in a multitude of people. Now, you take my wife sitting right there, and she's hearing me speak. She knows my voice. But I'm not having the kind of conversation with her in this arena, in this area, in this congregation that I can have with her as I did last night, one-on-one, just alone, an intimate conversation, to where I can learn things about her and she can learn things about me that would never take place sitting right here, us all together. Yeah. Now get your mind out of the gutter. When I said intimate, I'm not talking about dirty or nothing crazy like that. That's my wife. I'm just simply saying there's things that me and her alone can talk about, and over the years, I've got to know her better than I know any human being walking planet Earth. Now, could you imagine how what a deficit our marriage would be, and what a decline from where it is now if all of our communication took place in a public crowd? So what are you saying? I'm saying that there's something absolutely necessary, something absolutely critical, that we get more and have more of a conversation with and about the Lord Jesus than in a public environment. There's something special and unique that we cannot simply get on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Yes, we can get some. Yes, we can learn some. Yes, we will love Him, but we will never love Him to the depths that we could. We'll never excel to the heights that we could if we don't learn to kneel down and listen and learn, so that we can love Him in an intimate, personal way that we see happen with Mary as she sits at the feet of Jesus. And so we see this place of learning is realized at the Savior's feet, at Jesus' feet, a place for loving, a place for listening. To listen to Jesus was Mary's supreme delight. Not only to talk, but to listen to Him. You all know the story well. You know that Mary and Martha, in one of the next scriptures we'll talk about, it was noise that He was coming. They knew Jesus would be at their house. But oh, what a contrast. And I'm not here to preach about Martha this morning, but you know the scripture well, where the Bible says that Martha was cumbered about. She was so busy trying to prepare and make things just perfect and have all the dishes washed and have all the linen folded and pressed and have everything dusted, because she wanted to, and there's nothing wrong with a clean house, unless you live at my house with four daughters. then it's an it would be an absolute miracle to have a clean house. But I'm saying Martha and Mary both knew that Jesus was coming. However, they acted completely different, two completely different ways. And the Bible says which one done the best, which one done the right thing. And just in by way of passing this morning, I'm all for serving God. I think you should be in service. If you're a member of Morningstar Baptist Church, I believe you should have somewhere that you're serving. And I'm not necessarily talking about serving on your pew. I thank God for you filling a pew. I thank God that you're here. I complimented you and thanked you a while ago for being here in your place. But we need you in service. You are the church. Can I simply ask this morning? If every member of our church served our church the way you do, I wonder how much would get done.
It's good.
I wasn't going to say this publicly, but I feel like the Bible says give honor where honor's due. And I was sitting up here, I think during revival, I was sitting up here and I noticed these altars and these steps, they were scuffed up. I mean, they was black. Shoe scuff marks and just it was filthy, and it wasn't something you could just sweep up or barely wipe down and get it up. It was going to take a lot of work. I didn't even know if a lot of it would come up, but I thought as I was sitting there, people come and bow down, bury their faces in these altars. On top of the fact, this is God's house. It should be immaculate. It should be clean. Well, as I sat there, I thought, I'll take care of that. And I reached over to Brother Stephen, and he didn't want me to say this to nobody. I said, Brother Stephen, you see all that mess up there, them scuff marks? I said, you think that could come out? And he come up here and took a rag and a bucket of water and scrubbed every millimeter of these altars. He come up here when nobody was here because he didn't want nobody knowing he was doing it. He was just serving. And he scrubbed them, and they look great. They look new. And then he was riding up the road a couple days later, and he said the Lord told him to turn in. He said, as I was praying, he said, I felt like the Lord told me to come back in here and wash them again because I wasn't sure that I got every single spot. He said, so I took a white rag and a bucket of water, and from the top down to the bottom, every crack and crevice in between, he said, I was worshiping the Lord and I bathed the altar. Now you say, that whoop-de-doo, why would you even bring attention to that? I'm simply saying, that's not something that's going to get his name on the marquee. That's not something that's going to make the bulletin. But there's a God in heaven that looks down and sees a child of his who loves his house, who loves the Lord's house, who is willing to serve, not for some recognition, but because he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved his church. And I'm simply saying, listen, there's things all over this place. There's all kind of avenues and areas that you can get involved and serve God. You say, well, I'm not a teacher. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a singer. Can you straighten the books up? Can you straighten the hymnals up? Can you get here a few minutes early and welcome people as they walk in? On and on. I'm saying there's plenty to do. Plenty to do. And so find a place to serve. But Martha was serving. My point is, there's nothing wrong with serving. There's a lot right with serving. And working. But can I say, working and serving, even if it's for the Lord, is not priority? The The Lord explains this so well. Mary did the good part. Mary did what even exceeds and excels past serving. And if we fail to get at the feet of Jesus and to learn of Him and to fall in love with Him and to listen to Him, our service will turn into work. Those things that we do as I believe with all my heart Brother Stephen did, because he had laid before God, he had sit at the feet of Jesus, he had fell deeply in love with Jesus, and therefore it was no job at all. It was not hard labor at all. It was a labor of love. And he, listen, we can serve God with the joy of God in our heart if we first get at the feet of Jesus and bow before Him and listen to Him and learn of Him and love Him. Then it's no longer a job. Then it's no longer looking for an accolade. Then it's, you're not going to get your feelings hurt because you didn't get recognized. Somebody didn't notice. You'll be A-okay just knowing that Jesus knows. Amen. Well, we see a place for loving, a place for listening, a place for learning. A special lesson on true worship was taught. This is important to our service. So not only do we see the place of learning is realized at the feet of Jesus, but number two, the problems of life is resolved at the feet of Jesus. Brother Sam, go get me a water out of the, please. The problems of life resolved at the feet of Jesus. John chapter 11, if you want to, you can flip back there. John chapter 11, verse 32, the Bible said, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Now keep in mind, this is the same Mary who had been at the feet of Jesus. This is the same Mary that loved Jesus, that welcomed Jesus. Most commentaries will tell you that when Jesus would come through this part of town, He would normally go and stay at Martha and Mary's house, that which was the brother of Lazarus. They were friends. They were close friends. And here we see that Mary was heartbroken. Mary, I'm sure her faith had been shattered and rocked to the very core, because she just knew that as many times as she'd sat at the feet of Jesus and learned of Him and listened to Him speak and loved Him, she just knew when she called on Him and prayed to Him that if He was going to come to anybody's rescue, if He was going to perform a miracle for anybody, it would have been her. But here she prayed in a time of trouble. Here she prayed life's hardest situations as she faced tragedy, and Jesus seemingly was absent. He seemingly did not hear her prayer. And so Mary was troubled and even said to the Lord, when she saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She had learned a lot about Jesus. She had sat there at the school of Christ, at the feet of Christ. She knew a lot about Him. She knew, matter of fact, that He was so powerful that if He had have gotten there on time, He could have touched or spoke the words to her sick brother and healed him and helped him. But she had not been at the feet of Jesus long enough to realize and to find out, not only could He heal Lazarus, not only could He help Lazarus with a sickness and with an ailment,
But the longer she was going to stay at Jesus' feet and here, even in her brokenheartedness, even with life seemingly falling apart, even with her world shattered, she didn't get bitter at him. She didn't get mad at him. She was troubled. But where do you find her? Still at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
On her darkest day, she said, I've been at His feet before. He spoke words to me. He's taught me. He's loved me. And even though things don't make sense, even though I can't comprehend, even though my brother is dead, still going back to the feet of the man that I know loves me. And there she is at the feet of Jesus. And He's getting ready to show her, there's more to me than you've learned already. There's more to me if you'll keep coming to my feet, if you'll keep coming back to my feet, not just when you feel good, not just when it's a worship environment, not just when the sun's shining, not just when the birds are chirping, not just when the grass is green, but when your world has literally fallen apart, when the one you love is dead and getting ready to be buried. And listen, He's saying, still come to my feet. There's more that you know not of. He said, call unto me and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And until this time, she knew some, but she didn't know all that He was going to teach her at the feet of Jesus. And she knew He could heal. She knew that He had power to make blinded eyes to see. She knew that He had power to make the deaf ears to hear. She knew that He could speak the word and that Lazarus could have been healed and helped. But she didn't know what she was about to know. That at the feet of Jesus, He could speak life into death. I don't care how many times we get at the feet of Jesus. I don't care how much we've learned. I don't care how long we've been going and bowing at His feet. I say and I plead with you, keep going and bowing. No matter how you feel, no matter how bleak it looks, because with God there is a greater yes. Mary learning during her sorrow, the disappointment that hurt, heartbroken, full of sorrow, hurting. You've all experienced a loved one that's died. And please know, I'm not here to gouge any of us. I've sat at the head of a casket. I've sat and loved on family members whose heart have been ripped out of their chest. I'm not saying there's anything easy at all about death. Death's coming to each and every one of our homes. Matter of fact, death's coming to my address. Sooner or later, if the Lord tarries His coming, death will visit me, call my number, and I will leave this world. But I just a few months ago, we buried my grandma, preached her funeral, precious little saint of God, November the 11th, just a few days ago. What's today's date? 15th. So 3 or 4 days ago, on the 11th, my grandma, it'd have been her 94th birthday. Listen, I miss her. I love my grandma. She half raised me. It broke my heart. I knew where she was going. And that makes it a lot easier. But it still don't take away the hurt. It still don't take away the pain. I still ride by her house and want to turn and go see her. That missing part is still there. And each and every one of us have experienced that. And if you haven't, you will. But I'm here to tell you, ain't you glad this morning that there's a God in heaven who will clear off a place by His feet and let you snuggle up to Him when your world's been turned upside down, when you feel like you've got a hole in your heart, when death is the end, death is the finality, it's hard, it's hurtful, but ain't you glad there's a God in heaven who will keep teaching you, who will put His arms around you, and He'll hug on you, and He is a very present help. Amen. In a time of trouble. And I'm saying Mary was hurting, she was down and out. But there she found herself at the feet of Jesus, and He was about to brighten her day. Even in a time like that, she had no idea. Her mentality was just like ours would have been. Lord, if You'd have just come sooner, Lazarus, my brother, would still be alive. Could I remind us all this morning, there ain't nothing too hard for Him. Amen. I don't know what you're facing this morning. I don't know what you brought to church this morning that you don't want nobody to know. It could be your marriage is on the rocks. Say, oh, preacher, come on now. We all Christians in here. Our marriage is perfect. Yeah, and you're a liar too. I don't care how saved, sanctified, set apart you are. We all deal with marriage issues. Amen. You may have a child. I know some of you have children that the devil has his grips deep into their flesh, and it appears as though he's going to drag them right off into the abyss. And it seems they've broke your heart 1,000 times over. You've wept over them. You've cried. You've been at the feet of Jesus and begged Him, Lord, please, please don't let the devil have... Lord, please don't let the devil have my child. Lord, I can't reach them, but You can. Please, Lord. Your finances could have dropped out the bottom. Your president might not have won election. That's a joke, sort of. But I'm being dead serious. Listen, dead serious. None of us are immune to heartbreak. Yeah. In the lowest, I mean, as low as it can go, as hard as it can be. And I'm not here this morning to get you to stand up and testify and tell us all your troubles. But I am here to tell you this morning, you can bow down on your face in the face of tragedy, when it seems all hope is gone, and there's a man named Jesus who will embrace you, who will give an ear to you, who will give you audience and let you pour your heart out to Him. Amen. Even when you yourself don't believe deep down that He can fix it. Before you judge me, do you really think Mary was convinced in her heart that Jesus could fix this situation? She, not at this point, she wasn't. Now, those previous times when He was at her feet, she learned a lot, but she hadn't got to the place to where she was convinced He could fix this. That's why it's so important to keep getting at His feet. Because it don't matter what He's delivered you from in the past. It don't matter how bad it was in the past that you've seen Him miraculously reach down and change things. Tomorrow is so uncertain. There's no telling what the next phone call will hold for me and you. Amen. To the point that our relationship and our fellowship with Christ and what we've learned of Him in the past will not suffice what's on the horizon. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take getting back at His feet. In the face of absolute uncertainty, in the face of absolute and insurmountable situation. A mountain that's so high you can't climb, a valley that's so deep you'll never make it through, an ocean so long that you'll never be able to swim it on your own, and it looks absolutely impossible. But ain't you glad we serve a God who can do the impossible? He can fix any marriage. He can rescue any child. He can touch any situation. Not only can he will. The disappointment that hurt. She had sent for Jesus. Why the delay? Did he really care? Don't you know she was thinking that? Lord, if you'd have come sooner, how many of you remember a man by the name of John the Baptist? I'd say he's a pretty good Christian, wouldn't you? Jesus said, ain't been one born a woman greater than John. Right? But life got so turned upside down even on John. He sent word to Jesus as he is in his prison cell. And he couldn't physically get at the feet of Jesus. But he sent word and said, are you he or should I look for another? So what are you saying? I'm saying don't be so critical on Mary. Don't be so critical on... Let's jump out of the Bible for a minute and jump into 2020. It's so easy, and we can be so hard-hearted and so calloused at people in their weakest times. Well, I thought their faith was stronger than that. I can't believe they letting this rock their world. They've known Jesus their whole life. They've served faithfully their whole life. And they letting this mess them up and cause them to doubt God? Can I say this, please? And I'm hurrying. Please be careful at how you look at other people when they're at their weakest. When people are the most vulnerable. Because it looks so easy from where we stand. But until you are walking in their shoes and you're staring at it at an empty chair where your husband sat for so long and his presence filled the home, or that precious wife was there, or that child, fill in the blank. If it's somebody else's child acting a fool and run off to the far country and is hooked on dope and running around and doing all kind of crazy, it's so easy for Baptist people, I'm talking about Christian people, to say, well, you saw that coming. I mean, goodness, they didn't even half raise them right. They should have had them in church. And yes, we should have them in church. But I'm here to tell you, that little woman right there, raise me right. I mean, raise me right. She ain't perfect, but she did everything she could to raise me right. That did not prevent me, who has my own volition, my own will, to doing what I wanted to do. And I'm just simply saying, be loving and kind and compassionate, and have a little forbearance and be tender-hearted toward those who are at their most vulnerable place, because it can visit you before the sun goes down. Amen. Jesus would have been right. Jesus would have been absolutely right to say, how dare you? What do you mean? If I'd have come earlier, is that all the faith you got in me? But not Jesus. That ain't how Jesus responded to her. Neither is that how he responded to John. I ain't got time to preach this morning, but let me encourage you with this morning, something I ain't never thought about. But you remember when John was in the prison And he was doubting. Do you remember, Brother Alex? He said, Jesus said, you go tell John, sent him away. But before he did, do you know that, Brother Jimmy, that the conversation Jesus had about John when he was telling him there's never been one greater born of woman, do you know John never heard that? He was in the prison. He felt like Jesus had forsaken him. He felt like Jesus surely wouldn't let this happen. But while he was at the bottom, while he was doubting, while he was having one of the worst days of his life, Jesus was not talking to John. God was silent, seemed like. He wasn't talking to John. He was talking about John. And let me say this, when you're in your darkest night and you're doubting everything and wondering if God even knows where you're at or cares about you, it could be that God's being silent to you because he's bragging about you. Same thing with Job, by the way. Job didn't hear half the things that God and the devil were talking about. Job had no idea. Amen? I'm saying God ain't forgot you. God ain't forgot you. Well, the disappointment that hurt, the discovery that healed. She discovered his care. Jesus, verse 35, shortest verse in the Bible. The Bible says Jesus wept. She discovered that healing power, that Jesus did care. She discovered his control. He was on time with God's program. What seemed to be late, what seemed to not be coming through, Jesus was proving to her. While at his feet, Jesus was proving to her, though I'm late in your agenda, though your calendar don't work out, I'm God. And I don't have to operate by a timetable. I don't have to operate according to schedule. I don't have to operate, and I know it's 12:30 and somebody's about to have a cow, but Brother Josh preached way longer than this, so y'all chill out. I'm almost done. Jesus is saying, I know it's been 4 days. I know according to your mentality and your understanding that it's all over, that nothing can be done. But I'm God. And while you're at my feet, let me take you to another level and show you that I can't just do small miracles in your eyes. I can't just do those things that you've seen me do. There's more to me than meets the eye. And if you'll bow down and listen and learn from me, he said, don't you believe I can raise him from the dead? She said, yes, at the last day. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am, present tense.
Sure.
I am. And I'm saying he can walk up into mine in your life when it seems like everything has been lost. And he can say with authority, without hesitation, I know you wanted it this way. I know you prayed for it this way. And what didn't make any sense to you and even caused you to doubt me, I'm here to prove to you, not only was I, and not only am I going to be, I am the answer. I am right now, present tense. Jesus said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the deliverance that helped. Verse 15, 1 and 42. A lesser miracle was passed. Healing a sick Lazarus is what she was expecting. But that greater miracle would be performed, and that was raising Lazarus from the dead. If she had got her prayer answered and he had come early, they'd all been thankful and grateful and thought, my goodness, Jesus, you're so wonderful. You're so great. I mean, Lazarus had the coronavirus and you come right in time and healed him. Now he ain't got coronavirus no more. And Jesus is wanting to show her, after he had done got the coronavirus and been put on the ventilator and was dead, he can heal the coronavirus and he can even heal death.
Amen.
There ain't nothing that he can't do. And God's no respecter of persons, and if he'd do it for Mary, one who would sit at his feet. I wonder what he'll do for me and for you if we'll just sit at his feet.
Amen.
Amen. Lastly, not only what the place of learning is realized at the feet of Jesus and the problems of life resolved at Jesus' feet, but lastly, the picture of love is revealed at Jesus' feet. John chapter 12, verse 3, the Bible says, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." Mary, loving with her sacrifice, the sacrifice that magnified Mary's love. That pound of ointment, you've all heard it preached. I'm not going to take time. But that was no cheap ointment. She had saved and saved and saved. I guarantee you that was the most valuable thing she had to her name. And the sacrifice was magnified with Mary's love. The price she was willing to pay to show her love for Christ. I wonder this morning, what are we willing to sacrifice to the Lord to show our love? I ain't asking you to write a big check this morning, although you can, if you want to, make payable to Michael Rochester. I'm kidding. But I am saying, our time, our treasure, those things that we count and hold valuable to us, it wouldn't hurt. It would help a whole lot if we'd be willing to say, "Lord, you're worth it. You're more valuable to me than the money in my pocket or in my bank account. You're more valuable to me than the house I live in. Lord, you're..." I wonder how it hurts the heart of God when we're not willing to give those things we count dear to us. And I'm not necessarily even talking about financially. Finances will be the easiest thing of value that we'll give to him. You know what I believe he's more interested in? Our finances is valuable, but you'll know what's more valuable? And I believe I can prove this. Our time. Take a multi-million or billionaire. Let them get sick and let them get on their deathbed. They'll cash in every last penny, every stock, everything they own to buy a little more time. They'll pay whatever they have to pay. And I'm just saying this. Mary was willing to break open that box, that alabaster box, and anoint Jesus with that sweet-smelling fragrance. I wonder this morning, in closing, about 5 o'clock this afternoon, will we have been sitting at the feet of Jesus enough that we realize and comprehend that getting back to his feet is way more valuable than whatever else we had planned? Mary could have retired. Mary could have lived happily ever after. But he was more important. He was more valuable to her, to him, than anything she had. Mary was at Jesus' feet to worship, not here to hear a sermon. He was the greatest preacher in the world, but she wasn't there to hear a message. She was there to worship him.
She wasn't there to make a request. She had in the past. Chapter 11, verse 32. This is why many people pray. But she was there to worship. She wasn't there to meet fellow believers. Thank God for others. But we need His fellowship more. I thank God for people who come to church. We need one another. We need fellowship. We need to get together with other believers. But it's all vain. And I promise you, our love for the church will grow less and less until it means nothing at all. We will become less and less faithful to the church. We'll care less and less about the church if we're simply coming for people and for the fellowship with people. To be part of an organization, it'll mean less and less. But if we get at His feet, and that's the beginning, if seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, if we'll get to His feet, the church will mean more and more and more. And the more we get at His feet, the I promise you this, it ain't gonna matter what Sister Wigglejaw said about you. It ain't gonna matter if somebody gossiped about you. It ain't gonna matter if the preacher let you down. It ain't gonna matter if somebody in the church let you down. It ain't gonna matter if nobody at the church speaks to you. You know why? Because you didn't get at His feet for them. You got at His feet for Him, to worship Him. Jesus said, love church. I bought it. I birthed it. And the gates of hell ain't going to prevail against it. So if we'll get at His feet, what matters to Him will matter to us. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, we love You. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for the privilege, for the greatest opportunity we have, and that's to bow down before You, Lord, one-on-one, and bow at Your feet. God, thank You. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for loving me enough to save me. God, thank You for loving this church enough to save those that are saved. I pray, God, if there's one here lost this morning, God, for the first time in their life, that they would bow before You and get at the feet of Jesus and call on You as Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray for that one that's going through heartache, tragedy, and trials, Lord. Lord, it seems like the sun will never shine again. But oh, God of heaven, would You help us, God, even in our unbelief. God, as that father prayed with that sick son, he said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. God, I pray for that one that's hurting, having the hardest time. Would You please give him the faith and the desire to bow at Your feet one more time. God, to allow You the opportunity to reveal to them that there's more to You, Lord, than they've ever known. God, I pray that You touch every heart, God. May we fall in love with You afresh. I love You, Lord. Thank You, God, for these that's in the altar doing business with You. Thank You for everyone that's here today. I pray You'd have Your will and way in the hearts and life of Your people. God, touch
them. What a privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the One who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see His awesome glory, I remember who He is and bow the knee.
Throne. people doing business, would you come? God's let the door stay open just a little bit longer. Would you come?
Dear Lord, I've asked you for so many things before, for strength to climb each mountain in my way. I've asked for strength and help. I've even asked for wealth. But from now on, this is the way I'll pray. Thanks for loving me. Thanks for Calvary. Thanks for the riven side, the nail-pierced hands, the crown of thorns you wore. Thanks for Mom and Dad, and the good times we've had. But most of all, thanks for loving me. When I complain to Thee of things that bother me, and question why some burdens come along, forgive me when I whine, Thy will be done, not mine. For thanking You should be my only thanks for loving me. Thanks for Calvary. Thanks for the riven side, the nail-pierced hands, the crown of thorns you wore. Thanks for Mom and Dad, and the good times we've had. But most of all, thanks for loving me. When I was just a kid and knelt beside my bed, thanks to You each night I always said. To be a child again and pray as I did then, Lord, grant this one request to me. Amen. Thanks for loving me. Thanks for Calvary. Thanks for the riven side, the nail-pierced hands, the crown of thorns you wore. Thanks for Mom and Dad, and the good times we've had. But most of all, thanks for loving me. But most of all, thanks for loving me.